We're going to talk about how we totally smashed through these problems with our recent trip.
Accommodation, connectivity, orientation, making yourself at home.
Easily fits within the storage above me in the seat.
Splendid.
Business, lifestyle, and the philosophical implications of business whilst wearing shabby trousers. Or no trousers at all.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Hobo CEO podcast. I'm Chris Kirkland, and joining me today is my fellow hobo, Nico Apple.
Hello, guys.
Let's start with the basics. Where are you today, Nico?
Well, I made my way back to Thailand. And I just spent about 2 weeks on a nice little island, and I'm sitting in a coffee shop, calling again from a coffee shop, this time from Ranong.
Marvellous. Well, myself, I'm still in Tokyo, just at my flat, where it's nice and quiet.
So today, let's talk about the four wheels to get rolling. There's a big challenge moving from one location to the next, to get work done, to settle in, to orient yourself. We have gathered four major points that you have to figure out whenever you move locations.
And we're going to talk about how we totally smashed through these problems with our recent trip to Vietnam. But before we go to that, we're going to start with a regular feature called Inside the Suitcase. Every week, we're going to interview a different hobo and find out what they take when they're on the road. So let's jump over to that. Joining me for the first What's in the Hobo Suitcase is good friend and dominator, Jesse Lawler. Hello, Jesse.
Hello. Pleasure to be here.
Splendid. So, what, in a sentence, is funding your hobo existence?
I am a mobile app developer, and I put the mobile in mobile app development.
And where are you located at the moment?
I'm currently in Saigon, Vietnam.
Cabin luggage only?
Yes, cabin luggage only. I've been traveling with two backpacks. One slung over each shoulder. It easily fits within the stowage above me in the seat.
Ah, you got the two backpack trick.
The two backpack trick, yeah.
Using the kind of hack that one of them is meant to be for your laptop.
Exactly.
Very clever. What is the average weight of your luggage?
The heavier of the two is probably 25 pounds. You think in kilograms, so I think that's like 11 kilograms?
Yeah, something like that.
Which is pretty heavy as backpacks go.
Technically over AirAsia's limit.
But they never actually, they just see it's kind of small and they never realize I've got lead bricks in it.
Don't worry, we're not going to report you to AirAsia.
Thank you.
So, next question. What is most likely to get you questioned by airport security?
Without doubt, the microphone that I'm talking into right now. Yes, I travel with a small microphone, which folds up and looks very much like, well, it looks like a folded up microphone, but apparently when you're an airport security person, you're not used to looking at such things. It looks like a hand grenade or something like that. I mean, I don't know what it looks like, but it's obviously suspicious because people keep wanting me to unfold it and then talk into it. And when they see that it's very clearly a microphone, they always get a good chuckle.
What is the most expensive and the least expensive item that is worth carrying in your luggage?
I think the most expensive is without a doubt my 17-inch laptop, and the least expensive but still equally useful is a wooden spoon. I believe in always having some cheap cutlery on one's person because you never know.
Can you give any examples of where it's come in handy in situations?
Yeah, pretty much any form of fruit that crosses my path and has a skin that I won't eat, that spoon has burrowed out many a fruit for me.
Excellent. Fending off those pesky skins.
Exactly. Kiwis and such.
Is there anything else we might like to know about your luggage?
I've developed a pretty good little trick of there's I think it's to hold like the rain fly. Like my backpack has one of these things where if it's rainy, you can sort of fold out this little tarp that goes over the top of it because it's not otherwise entirely waterproof. But anyway, there's this little zip open compartment at the bottom, which I always shove all my socks and underwear in because it gives a little extra padding on the bottom of the 17-inch laptop thing. So if I happen to put my computer down roughly, there's my underwear to protect it.
That's a great tip. In fact, underwear-related tip, if I may carry on the underwear tip.
Please do.
I hear that one good way to avoid customs officials rifling through your luggage is to make sure your underwear is packed on the top. The unclean underwear, that is.
So now terrorists know to have hand grenades that look like microphones and cover them in soiled undergarments.
That's it. This is going to turn into terrorist tips, this particular part of the episode. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Lawler, for joining us. And we do hope to have you again soon for a proper interview.
Thank you so very, very much. I deeply look forward to it.
Splendid. Well, let's jump into the meat and potatoes, as Dan and Ian from the Lifestyle Business Podcast call
it. We said in order to get rolling, you have to have four wheels going. And what you need to sort out is accommodation. You definitely have to take care of connectivity. Then there's orientation.
What do you mean by orientation, Nico?
Well, you gotta know where good places are to eat, where good places are to work,
where to get the best pho.
And of course, last but not least, making yourself at home. I mean, you gotta raise your level of comfort whilst being on the road, and that's quite important. How did we do that in Ho Chi Minh?
Well, we had people we know beta test the place first. As we've mentioned before, we're already members on the Dynamite Circle. We're connected with a lot of mobile entrepreneurs already. And there was quite a contingent of people moving to Ho Chi Minh City. We just let everybody beta test it first and figure out that it was
this
a good place.
This is actually a major hack. If you don't have to be the first one there, like the early adopter, and you have other people you know traveling the places, that's really going to help, because they can just sort out everything basically for you, and you can piggyback if you just come in a couple of weeks later, which we did in Ho Chi Minh.
So you got to remember that we're here to work. The priority is to get shit done. There's no kind of points to be earned from like struggling through a new place and figuring out where whatever is and how to get the visa. It's like if someone just hands it to us on a plate, that is a done deal. We're going to take that ticket. That's the first point.
For Ho Chi Minh City, we tried something we actually haven't tried before. We already had one of our mates checking out a couple of apartments.
Yeah, that's right. We had Jürgen, a good friend of ours, on the ground, going around with a real estate agent looking at apartments for us. The real estate agent had been used by some other friends to find their really fancy apartment.
So exactly.
We basically just said, okay, thanks, guys. That's cool. And they just told us which was the nicest apartment.
Right. And then we also decided to hire the personal assistant of one of our friends, Stephen Moody, who had already worked with Tram, our Vietnamese assistant, for a couple of weeks.
That was a real bonus. He'd basically, he'd used her as much as he needed to, and she was looking for something else to do, and so we arrived just at the right time. So I guess we were a little bit lucky there. But just the fact that Steve and Jesse had been hiring a lot of people locally, they would have told us where to advertise, what sort of price to pay. Even if we didn't have Tram, I'm sure we could have picked ourselves up a personal assistant fairly easily. Before we even arrived, you know, I remember like a week before, we were just emailing her a kind of wish list of everything we wanted. You know, get us a SIM card, yoga mat, find out where all the good cafes are. So by the time we arrived, we had the keys to our apartment. We had Tram meters at the apartments, and we had the SIM cards for our phones. So and within 2 hours of arriving, we were already connected.
Awesome. I mean, it really sounds a little bit fancy to hire a personal assistant and whatnot. Let me rephrase that a little. To me, it seemed more like, you know, these in these American movies where the hero always has somebody local, like, as you were saying, on the ground. Sometimes it's like, I don't know, their local guy, like, that kind of helps them sort everything out. And that's where, what the assistant did for us.
And it was good for us because we'd actually never had a personal assistant. How much were we paying? Like $100 for a week. So it was $400 for the month between three of us in the end. It was such a kind of small investment to just try having a member of staff in that fashion.
Let me give our listeners an idea what we had Tram do for us. As I mentioned earlier, connectivity. We told her, these are the phones we are having. This is what we're looking to. We need data plans. We need so and so many. And when we arrived, she already had the SIM cards waiting for us. She handled setting it up. She put them in our phone while we were talking to the landlady. And we were up and running in no time. It was totally worry-free. She even topped up my SIM card 2 times while I was there remotely. It was really awesome.
So let's talk a bit about how we actually managed a personal assistant Tram. We created an Asana project, of course.
Of course.
And we named it Domestic Domination.
What else would you name it?
we didn't kind of sit with her every day and brief her as what she needed to do. We just sat down at Asana, and as we would for anyone else in our organization, we were just assigning her tasks. You know, we made shopping lists, we put items in the shopping list. She could check it from her mobile phone. So she was out shopping. Any moment until she was actually at the checkout, we could still be adding stuff to the checklist and she would get it on her phone. So we kind of used all the skills that we'd developed in managing our own staff in our own company to manage this personal assistant.
So we got connectivity covered, then orientation. How did we handle orientation? It was actually pretty awesome. We had Tram create a custom Google map that she shared with us, and we had her add cafes to go to have good coffee, cafes to work. We had her add supermarkets.
Add some recommended restaurants.
So whenever we needed a place, we asked her if she could research something and put it on the map. That was really sweet.
We can share this map with you guys.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Another thing is, I mean, you don't want to pay tourist prices. So what happened with having a local assistant in Vietnam was also that for a lot of the things that needed to be negotiated, we had Tram negotiated for us. She was really good at that.
You wouldn't necessarily need a personal assistant to get everything we got here. Just having people who'd been in the city already, and they would be able to say, yeah, there's a good cafe here. You want to go to this shop, not that one. Take these taxis and not these taxis. So basically just having someone who'd already beta tested it would have given a lot of what Tram gave us.
Correct.
So let's talk a bit about how we made ourselves at home. And again, we made heavy use of Tram. Like, I wanted a yoga mat. You guys wanted an AeroPress coffee maker.
Yes.
I wanted some coconut oil. Basically, we just kind of, all the little kind of creature comforts. You know, I like having cocoa with no sugar. All the things we wanted, we kind of put onto a list.
Yes.
And Tram found them for us. If we didn't have Tram, the kind of step below that would have been to fall back on our friends and what they'd done already. Luckily for us, a lot of our fellow Hobo CEO friends, they're also kind of got the same quirky diet that we have and the same exercise regimen.
We're talking about maximizing productivity on the road, right? So, I mean, we got the yoga mat, we got the AeroPress, we got our coconuts. That meant we could really work and concentrate on the things we wanted to work on. And being in Ho Chi Minh was really a productive time for us.
You've skipped over a really important point there, Nico.
Help me out.
The coconut delivery.
Yeah.
Just to make this clear, we had a guy, mobile phone number. We'd just kind of send him a message or give him a call. How many coconuts? And he would be around within a few hours and he would have like a bag full of 15 coconuts.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And they were about, how much would it work out? About 30 cents per coconut or something. It was the cheapest coconuts I'd ever bought. We just had a delivery pretty much every day. Coconut productivity.
Absolutely. Sometimes you cannot sort everything out. Sometimes circumstances just won't allow you to. In that cases, you gotta bring in a little flexibility.
Well, a lot of us have kind of got quirky diets and exercise regimens and habits and routines that we've built up. You can keep those, but there's a cost. For example, Jesse Lawler, he's like pretty strict with his paleo. He managed to keep his paleo diet going. The most effective way he did it was he's hiring a chef. He's paying extra every month to have a live-in chef who goes shopping and cook all his foods. Whereas you and I, we like eating paleo, but we're happy being like kind of 80%. We don't mind having a few rice noodles here and there. Yeah. So that little bit of flexibility allows us to not worry so much. You know, most of the time we just skip on the carbs. You know, we weren't having any rice for lunch. But, you know, people would invite us out for a pho in the evening. So we'd go out and have like beef with rice noodles. So that little bit of flexibility can really go a long way. It's kind of a trade-off, you know.
Yeah.
If you really want to keep your routines and your habits, then you've got to be prepared that it's going to cost you a bit more, it's going to take more of your resources.
Yeah, and it might stress you out in the end, and then it's really not worth it.
Good example is I've been really getting into muscle building exercises recently. Whilst I was in Chiang Mai, I was in a gym and I was using a squat rack, you know, to do free weights and to do heavy squats. I quickly realized, though, that with my kind of travel regimen, that's going to be pretty hard to keep up, because every time I go somewhere new, I'm going to have to find a gym that has got the, you know, the professional squat rack. And a lot of gyms don't have that. So when we arrived in Ho Chi Minh City, we found a gym that had that equipment, but it's quite expensive. And so I thought, well, long term, I'm going to struggle to keep these squats up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch to body weight exercise, yeah. Stuff which I can do in any hotel room anywhere in the world. For me, building up the biggest muscles I possibly could wasn't really the priority. So I'm just, you know, I want to kind of keep fit and healthy, and like body weight exercises is fine. That's, I'm willing to compromise big muscles for that kind of extra flexibility.
And since you're mentioning it, I think it's still in better phase, but Rob Henley from the DC has just started a really nice project called Only Body Weight, especially for needs you're just talking about, could be really interesting for people to look into. We should mention it in the show notes.
Absolutely.
When you're on the road, you have to think ahead and you have to know that not everything is going to be just perfect. So you got to stay relaxed with that. There's always got to be stuff that's outside of your control, and there's always got to be stuff that's a little frightening when you're moving from one place to the next. Knowing that ahead of time, you have to have a certain discipline to stay relaxed and to develop a mindset where you can ease into this.
Yeah, our friend Jürgen, who in fact helped us find our flat in Ho Chi Minh City, he wrote a great post, which I think touches on this, called the Circle of Nomadic Life. You know, these predictable circumstances that you'll get into as you're traveling around. And, you know, the first step, being somewhere new, it's kind of disorienting. But you know, after a week or so, it's going to be familiar. Yeah. And that kind of feeling of disorientation will just be totally gone.
Yeah.
Having that awareness helps you be more relaxed and helps you go through that disorientation much easier.
The four wheels, just to get over them quickly, sort out your accommodation, check your connectivity, get some orientation in the new places, then definitely raise your level of comfort and make yourself at home.
That just about wraps it up for this week. I'm actually going to be hanging out with Tynan in the next few days, so I'm going to sit him down, stick a microphone in front of him, and ask him about his hobo mindset and whatnot. And as we keep mentioning, we're going to get onto relationships at some point in the not-too-distant future.
And I think we should also feature some of the female hobo CEOs out there.
We will. I've had a little preview. I've got Elisa.
Nice.
Who's going to be dropping in and sharing what's in her suitcase. Maybe the next episode.
Nice. Okay. Let us definitely give a shout out to Josh and Jill from screwthe925.com. They got in contact with us through the podcast and on Twitter. And I'm inviting everybody who's listening in to start chat with us there whenever they feel to. They are running their business on the road. They've given up the office job. How nice is that? I'm probably going to meet them in Chiang Mai in April.
You're going to have to interview them for our relationships episode coming up. See what their story is.
Yeah, another couple. That's going to be interesting. Thanks, everybody, for listening in. It was our pleasure, and we hope to see you again soon.
Don't forget to check us out on Twitter, Hobo CEO. And, of course, send us your comments, feedback, and complaints.
Okay, bye-bye, guys.
Cheers. See you later.
Morons, pipe dreams, protons, hunting, leaping, jumping, kite surfing.